Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Bliwa Gabaza, and for today, we're going to be getting into a conversation about what's going on in the world of business development, business support, small business support, but more specifically, technology-enabled startups and some of the support that businesses like that actually need, and some of the efforts that one of South Africa's largest corporate players is giving to that particular sector. I'm joined today in Centurion at Telkom's head office, and I'm going to be having a great conversation with Tepo Petla, who is the head of business development as well as Telkom Future Makers, and we're going to be having a discussion just around the place of business support in Telkom strategy, and some of the support that they are giving thereof and how it makes sense for them and the investment thereof. Tepo, greetings to you today.
Thank you, and greetings to you too, Mudiwa. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for being with us today. So over the years we have seen, I'm just going to call it the rise. Corporate supporting small businesses is nothing new. But in the, I'm just going to call it the technology piece, the one that people usually consider startups, because I know some people make a distinction between a small business and a startup. In the startup space, we've seen a lot of activity from corporates, either investing in certain cases, even just buying up these startups, and then in certain cases, special units that are being, put in there, and sort of acting like a venture capital type of unit to support some of these small businesses. What's the route that Telkom has taken when it comes to Telkom Future Makers? What's the structure of the unit?
Yes, thanks for this opportunity. And to your point, corporates, I think, have realized that they cannot continue to be what they have always been and to maintain their traditional form and shape. And a bank is no longer just a bank. A telco is no longer just a telco. Yeah. So there's a strong realization that we need to harness technology to enable us to, secure the future. And therefore, we look to the innovation of small businesses because they are nimble and agile. They are able to innovate much better than large corporates. And therefore, we have taken the approach of using our ESD program, our Enterprise and Supply Development Program, and actually make that a more innovation-driven ESD. And Telkom then established Telkom Future Makers, which is basically our ESD unit in the group, which with the sole purpose of supporting technology startups as well as SMEs in our value chain. And that comes in various forms. As you may well know, ESD is typically split between enterprise development, and on the other end is the supply development side. There's a great work that we do with startups on the enterprise development part of things. In 2015, at the launch of Future Makers, Telkom deliberately took a bold step to actually put in money where the mouth is as far as support for startups, with an injection of 100 million initially into what was going to be a venture capital fund. In partnership with IDF Capital, we established the Future Fund, that was meant to help, Telkom invest and gain more insight in what is happening in the startup environment. And that has since evolved to include early stage funding as well as seed funding. And that fund is approaching 10 years now. and the fund value has grown to about 250 million over the years. That has been our, you know, commitment to supporting startups, particularly tech startups. But over and above that, our programs that we run year in, year out, outside of that fund, are there to provide much needed business development support, as well as ideation opportunities where we partner with ecosystem partners to run ideation programs like hackathons, where we try and unearth, you know, innovation from ordinary South Africans that have got great innovative ideas which tech can enable. So we've been active in that space for quite a while. We run quite a number of programs, including our flagship township program, geared to unearth township innovation from our township residents, typically young black entrepreneurs,
yeah,
who are using tech to solve for township problems. So yeah, that's the lay of the land as far as our involvement in that space. There's much more that I can elaborate on.
Okay, cool. It certainly sounds like it's a serious unit, you know, that's covering, I guess, the broad spectrum of business development at Telkom, you know, both for the small businesses and the startup side of things. Well, you said just now that that future fund, you've reached 10 years also on that fund, now valued at around, you said, 250. But there was a recent announcement of, I think, close to 60 million or so that, you know, Telkom was now, I don't know whether, is it a new fund? Is it a new investment? What's happening?
Yes, thank you. We, over the years, then we realized that we could do a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot of our work has been to unearth, you know, all this innovation, and you'll see a lot of concentration in early stage and probably seed funding. But we realized that, you know, we could do a lot more with, you know, established startups,
yeah,
who are needing to scale.
Yeah.
And then the venture builder was conceptualized to say, let's set up this venture builder. And in partnership with Aeon's Creative Technology, we've been able to put in 58 million with the view to invest in startups that are, you know, going to solve problems in our verticals of interest, like fintech, health tech, and the like. And the key thing there is that with the venture builder, we're able to grow these startups and help them scale. And at the right time we exit, they should be ready to go into future rounds of funding, like VC funding. And so that is another investment that we're making in the, you know, startup ecosystem.
Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting, you know, especially for your partnership with Aeons, because I think, you know, one of the people at the top of that particular structure is Mitchin Adams, who is one of the founders of Ozo. And he's actually been on this platform also talking about the ventures that he's looking to invest in. So, you know, very interesting to see some of the linkages that are happening in the ecosystem. One of the things that I'm curious about is, for that specific fund that you're now looking at for the growth capital side of things, the 58 that Telkom puts in, is that the total fund value, or are you one of a set of investors in that fund?
So we are the sole funder. However, we co-invest in these startups.
Yeah.
So we would look for startups that are looking for a round of fundraise, and we would be one of them. And we have seen other funders actually participate in those rounds, and we are but one of the funders. You'll see we don't typically take majority stakes in those funding rounds, but we take a good enough stake to be able to help the and influence the startup to grow. In summary, we are basically not core funding with the other guys, except that the invested companies are able to then source funding elsewhere as well.
Okay. No, it makes sense. I'm hoping that you can lend your take to an ongoing debate that's happening in the venture capital space in South Africa, because of how risk averse, the capital markets in South Africa are. Those same capital markets are what feed into venture capital, and so the risk appetite that venture capitalists take is a little bit less than, the big bets that we see in the United States. And because it seems in that market, you just throw money at things and you hope that something sticks. But in South Africa, there's a little bit more pressure for returns, a little bit more pressure for robust business models, actually making sure that you're investing in something that's what you call the sustainable. So from that point of view, there's been this long running criticism that the VC space in South Africa is more, it feels more like private equity than venture capital. Keen to get your take. And the reason I'm asking that question is because you guys started out in a space where you're doing seed funding for businesses, but now you're looking at a situation where you're doing growth capital for businesses. So it's exploring these different these different avenues. Most people think that you can only get money if your business is growing, but you've already shown a track record of investing in the early stage and you've been able to actually more than double the size of the fund, just based off of those investments. So just keen to get your take on this very complex situation, because lots of startup founders are sitting there saying, am I really going to be able to get seed funding in this environment, or am I just better suited slogging it out and then, only pitching for funding at the growth stage?
And the challenge with that is the pitching for funding at a later stage comes with the founders being much more risk averse and fearing a large takeover by a corporate.
Yes, you don't want to dilute yourself.
There's always that. But I get that. The contrast with the US VC ecosystem to our one, I think the main differentiator would be what they look for in a venture. And typically, the business case might not be sound at the time, but the attributes of the founder and their strategy, the way they think, gives them much more confidence that they can bet on them. And I'm not suggesting that this is a gambling exercise, but they do invest a lot in the founders and whether they have got the entrepreneurial spirit. Even if their idea doesn't work this time around, they are willing to come back multiple times on the same founder.
I think Adam Newman, the WeWork guy, is proof of exactly what you're saying now.
Yeah. So I believe in our context, then we need to invest a lot more in that, the development of the entrepreneurs and the founders themselves, to develop that those kind of attributes. But it's no excuse to. I mean, we all know it's a risky environment to be investing at an early stage. It's actually our conviction that solutions will only come if we support at that early stage. Not all of those ventures will become great successes, but there will be those offshoots that will most likely, you know, cover the cost of all our investments in those startups. And as Telkom, we have taken a position that says we will actually become a you know, significant player in that space, churning out a lot of solutions and helping these startups to scale, because we believe that's where the future is going to come from. Otherwise, we run the risk of becoming a technology consumer, like we've been doing for the longest while in South Africa and the continent. So, and we actually do believe that there can be great solutions coming out of our country that can be scaled at a global stage. So, we intentionally want to support at that stage. And we are not reckless about it.
Mm-hmm.
We do all the due diligence.
All the checks and balances.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But you can only do that as far as what you know at the time. What can you know really at the early stage? There has to be some basic things that are in place. Are there relationships that the startup is already establishing? Is the business model sound? Is it making sense? Is the tech side of things, you know, is there a clear roadmap on how that will be developed and how, what it will take to get it to a, you know, mature stage? So all those things have been done. Market appetite has been tested, but there's no silver ball to really know how the market is going to react. And those are the lessons we pick up along the way as we launch some of the platforms. Most of the products that come out of our programs is really platform business cases in different industries. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I want to drill down a little bit into what you mentioned just now, because I think that's a very key aspect to be looking at and being intentional about investing in, developing the entrepreneurs themselves, right? I have my own thesis, which I'll share just now, but your take, having met founders across the board, in this environment, what's the personality type, or who's the founder who's engendering this type of confidence that you're talking about, either from a raising funding point of view or having that mindset where they can think of a big idea, action it, find the market fit, you know, and be able to take a business off the ground? What are you seeing? What are these personalities? Who are these people? You know, what type of water are they drinking?
Like other people say, this entrepreneurship thing is like a whole religion. So, but anyway, I tend to believe that there are certain attributes that are required of an entrepreneur for them to succeed, especially if they're starting out. An open mind, meaning that they're not anchored on what they started off as and what they envisioned.
Yeah.
They are able to adapt with the changing conditions, as well as with the advice from people who have traveled to the road. That's why we partner them with the likes of Mitch and them, who have been through the process of actually launching a startup successfully. They are able to, you know, guide the guys to rethink their business strategy, to say, you know, this solution that you're coming with, technically, it all makes sense. But can we think broadly about, you know, what is it going to solve for? Who are really ready to, you know, consume what you're putting out? And if you have a spirit of learning, I think you're poised to succeed. If and there's no way you know everything. If you're humble enough to understand that, okay, you have a certain area of speciality, but these other things are not your area of speciality, and you listen and adapt your plans accordingly. I believe that is a strong attribute. You obviously need to be resilient and patient. You are in it, yes, to make it big and financially and otherwise, but it takes time.
Yeah.
Funding itself means that you have to knock on so many doors, get rejected so many times, but you go back and refine. Every door that you knocked at and you got a rejection, ask for a constructive feedback on what you put forward and work on those things. There is typically a common theme across funders about what they are looking to hear. And it's about value. So are you value creating in what you're putting forward? And they'll test you with a lot, all manner of questions. But ultimately it's about, is there value are you creating value with your solution? You can play around with tech. But ultimately, how is it impacting people?
Yeah.
Is it something that is needed out there? So if you solve for those kind of things and have a humble, receptive approach, I believe you should be able to, get
throw it
right.
Yeah. Interesting. On my side, I'll proffer, I have said this in many circles, and this is my current working theory. I'm open to it moving, but I've noticed that people that come out of management consulting and make for good founders of businesses, because they are coming out of an environment where they've had to conceptualize solutions for large businesses. There's a practicality that they bring to the space, right? Because a lot of the time, startup founders, you have an idea, but part of the mission is, how do I make this idea happen? But in management consulting, you already know how to make something happen. You know who to talk to, where to go. If you don't know the immediate answer, you know how to get, the linkages in the market. I look at the guys that founded Yoko, those are ex-consultants, the founder of Masodi Organics, ex-consultants, the guys that are, the two guys that are heading up Uber right now in the region, the general manager for Uber, general manager of Uber Eats in the region. Those are all ex, obviously they are not founders, but, guys that are operating at that level, ex-consultants, and then other businesses down the line. I saw a similar trend when we went to visit a couple of startups in India as well, guys that are coming out of Bain, McKinsey, etc. So on my side, it just seems like an interesting situation. I know that the founder of Weetility, for example, which is a solar startup, he comes out of a consulting background as well. Over time, I've been refining, this thing, but it would occur to me that people that are coming out of that world, when they start a business, they're not starting like a mom and pop small business. They are there to take over the world. And, from the get-go, it's about, how do I start something and within an X amount of time have scaled this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that's an interesting observation. But yeah, perhaps one to, conceptualize and make it a concrete finding. Mm. But it's quite an interesting one. And I believe it makes sense because they come from a solutioning environment and they often understand end-to-end processes. And they're able to say, okay, where is value hidden? Mm. Or how do you unlock value? From that perspective, of course, yeah. It doesn't, though, I think, exclude the creativity of others.
No, definitely.
Which a lot of founders are, innovative and creative. It's the business element that I think sets them apart.
Yeah, no, definitely. And when it comes to, I guess, tied to what we're talking about the founders, these types of mindsets and the people that do well, any interesting businesses that you guys have been involved in, you know, that you perhaps might want to highlight from your portfolio?
Ooh, it's quite, there's been quite a lot coming out of our portfolio, particularly from the idea of portfolio. We've seen a lot of business come out of there.
Yeah.
But just to name but maybe a few that maybe now very close to being household brands, or they're very popular now, the likes of Sweep South, which is a domestic services platform.
Yeah.
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 So it also came through the, the Future Fund.
Nice.
And it's just amazing to see them take off and, you know, occupy the space and being, you know, a go-to place for such services. And similarly, the recent acquisition of Kandua by Santam. We were invested through the Future Fund as well there. And there's many others like delivery services platform Dropper, where we invested quite a lot in there, and went on to they went on to, you know, pay off a large portion of their debt financing that came from that fund. They are now pretty much a major player in the logistics space, not only providing the platform, but also extending to other logistics services. So they've struck some serious partnerships with the likes of Skynet and them. So we're seeing some good growth coming out of there. But there are also other social businesses to a large extent who are playing in the education space. We have Lightbulb, which we have also supported, and they are partnering with our foundation here to make that learning management system available to schools out there. And we, as Telkom, we have actually zero-rated that platform, so it's one of those, or more on the social side. Similar platform is the Mzali app, which is to improve parent and school communication so that you can get parent involvement in the child's learning. So that is one other platform. I say social business, but not necessarily, because they're still required to be financially sustainable on their own. So except that they're fulfilling a much bigger
role.
Yeah. So there's quite a lot.
clearly.
Yeah. So we're looking to actually profile a number of them in leading up to our 10-year anniversary as Future Makers, which is going to be next year. So we'll be profiling some of these tech startups. I just wanted to maybe mention the investees in the Aeon's Venture Builder.
Yeah.
Very interesting one there. We've got fintech startups. You might be familiar with Frank. Frank is there.
Yes.
We have Deliveroo Speed.
We've actually had had Frank on this platform.
I think you did.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So they're part of the stable there. We have now Deliveroo Speed, which is also another delivery platform that is focused on the township market coming out of the Hammanskraal area. They've studied the market. They sort of understand what it takes to actually, you know, service that last mile from grocery deliveries to food deliveries, and now they're moving into parcels. So there's those. We also have a health tech startup, Wello, which is also looking to, it's also another marketplace type of platform where healthcare providers sign up and they can be deployed where they're needed. So there's some very exciting ones. An IoT startup that is helping corporates to understand, you know, what's happening with regards to their sustainability, using AI and IoT. It's called Awareness Core, which is also got some global ambitions. And so, yeah, in that venture builder, we're seeing some interesting startups come through.
Nice.
Yeah.
Perhaps where we can end off this discussion, being cognizant of time, is around, you've just mentioned, you know, a lot of businesses, right, from the first fund and now into in the second fund. When people think about business development support in a corporate sense, you're typically trying to answer the market access question for small businesses, especially on the small business side. You're typically trying to answer the market access question. You know, how do we get small businesses into a large corporate's, you know, supply chain? You know, let's help them with invoicing, setting up systems so that, you know, they can be a viable entity that sits here, and maybe they can take these learnings to grow their business, maybe enter other supply chains. Great. But you guys on this side, it's VC, where your mandates could be different, because most of the time from a VC point of view, you're looking at maximizing your returns. You invest in a number of businesses, and like any portfolio, trying to increase the value of portfolio, looking for decent exits down the line, possibly. But is there, you mentioned the one business in the first fund that is working with the foundation, right? Does Future Makers look at the VC side as purely VC, or is there also that a market access side that exists as well, as you would for, you know, some of the other things in your in your supply development?
So I think our programs try to address that, in that when we curate a program like a township program, and there are accelerator programs that we've had, we also look at how it addresses a business need. Mm. And we you know, solicit inputs from the business to say, hey, this is a startup we're looking to support. This is what they do. Is it something that you can, you know, that can benefit the business in the future? And there's been, the attrition has not been where we want it to be. Yeah. But there's certainly been an uptake of some of those solutions coming from those startups. We've even seen partnerships being struck with some of our graduation startups. Like we have a B2B IoT business, Advanotech, which is managing utilities for large corporates. We have now actually taken that solution in-house, and we are making it available to our customers together with them. So there's different models. We always look for those opportunities. But beyond telecom, we also offer these startups exposure out there, where we partner with you know, events entities that are offering exhibition opportunities, and we create linkages with other corporates for B2B opportunities. Yes. Yeah.
Last thing on my side, it's a little bit of a curiosity. How did you find yourself heading up Future Makers?
How did I find myself heading up? Oh,
yes.
my personal journey.
Yeah.
Look, I've always been passionate about business development. Having started my career as an electrical engineer, practiced, I sort of transitioned into that space. And I did a lot of business development work, but in corporates, working on large projects. And in that time, I actually equipped myself with the world of, you know, finance and business development at large. And when they were looking for someone here, they sort of looked at attributes that I believe I had, and I took a chance, and here I am, a much more exciting space, working with startups. I believe I can bring all my experience and my training coming into one role, and I see that applying every day. So, yeah, that's how I found myself in this space. It's very exciting. I'm still liking it so far.
Nice. And on that point, that's where we end off, you know, the discussion. You know, it would be good to catch up maybe 6 months to a year from now and see how the progress, especially of the second fund, you know, has been and gone. And, you know, maybe you'd have added, I know that some companies talk about adding logos, but, you know, maybe you'd have added more companies into the portfolio, more of these success cases. And it's one of the things that I'm always, you know, keen to see. We see a number of corporates that are supporting businesses, you know, venture space and all that. So it's always great. Also great just understanding how the Future Makers, you know, how Future Makers is structured. Also understanding that dichotomy between your what's considered traditional business development support versus, you know, the venture capital type of things, because they tend to have different mandates. But it sounds like Telkom is trying to find a way to sort of marry, the two concepts, you know, so that you participate in the upside of, you know, the growth of the companies, but also at the same time, the company itself gets to benefit from some of the products and services, that are offered by, some of those constituent companies. Also great, getting into discussions around what makes a good entrepreneur or good startup founder and some of the attributes, that are there, because, you know, Tsepo was just mentioning the fact that in many cases, the bet, that is being made, by capital allocators is, you know, to the person or to the leadership team, you know, as opposed to the ideas, because it's the people that you're working with. And if there's a decent enough drive, business acumen, you know, then usually it engenders enough confidence to take the business forward. So that's been it. It has been a great discussion. We are at Telkom's head office, and we have been in conversation with Tsepo Phetla. He is the head of business development and also the head of Telkom Future Makers. Tsepo, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Madiwa.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.